Hey.
Hey there.
You made it.
I did. Sorry.
I was about to go with plan B.
Yeah, sorry. That was the last minute. Sometimes you got to leave people waiting.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it's the mystery episode. So it's all mystery. Yeah. Welcome, everyone, to BiffCast episode 15, the mystery episode, where we discover what we're going to talk about at the same time you do.
See, this is what makes our show the most transparent show on the internet, because other shows plan stuff ahead of time. This time, you get a raw, unfiltered look into what is going on.
Yeah. What is going on? That's the question.
That is a fantastic question. My kid graduated from...
Heck yeah. I didn't know that your kid was so old.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But then suddenly one day, it's like, we're graduating. So, you know. That's cool. So we spent the whole weekend on that. Admit, I got absolutely no tabletop anything done other than work. But I do have work stuff to chat about.
Nice. So I bought a couple things.
What'd you get?
I bought this orc horde, 10mm, to play with the other kids.
Ooh.
Is that fantasy battle?
Oh, yeah, they've been trying those out. They look super nice.
Yeah, the War Games Atlantic. Yeah, I figured. It's an easy buy. I mean, it's not very expensive, so I might as well just...
Yeah. Are they all strips, or...?
Yeah, definitely. That's the big thing. And they come with bases, oddly enough. So they come with three sets of bases. Yeah. And three sprues of strips.
Hell yeah.
Little dudes.
Did they have a game that was supposed to go with them? Or did I thought I saw...
I think they're coming out with a game. But Warmaster, I guess, is what most people use them for now.
Yeah, like everything that's 10mm. It actually bugs me a little bit because I wish there were a couple of companies doing single 10mm fantasy figures.
Well, see, the first ones I bought were single-based 10mm, but Ancients. And just imagine putting them all each individually onto little things so I can spray them and then paint them. Kind of halted me a bit. It's not the worst.
Yeah, it's just barely a thing.
And might as well say hello to a couple of our friends in chat. Yeah. Noised, good to see you. And Hambutt's eagerly waiting to see if he gets banned or not. So
yeah, we'll make a decision. Every minute, I'm going to roll a 20-sided die. I'm going to roll a 7. He goes. That's it. That's over.
Sorry, Hambutt.
The first roll was an 18, so we're good. We're good. We're cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. No need to worry.
Perfect. So, yeah. And also bought the Tomb Kings core box because the price online finally kind of entered into reasonable territory.
Yeah.
Not great, but reasonable.
Honestly, some of those boxes, like everyone backs on the prices for those, but some of those boxes are like pretty good value considering how much you pay for 28mm figures nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, it can't be any cheaper than buying a brand new sprue of skeletons. So, because those guys aren't cheap.
Yeah, although for like basic troops, like plastic skulls and stuff, there's a little more options nowadays. But
yeah, only if you want the classic big fisters.
Yeah. You gotta have. Otherwise, they can't hold their arrows, right?
Yeah, exactly. Big arrows, spear sized arrows, and the big skeleton fists.
Something I think about sometimes that because there's always people talk about Games Workshop being expensive, but like a lot of 28mm, especially for like fantasy and sci-fi stuff, is not real cheap, regardless of who you buy from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot that's, like, three... It used to be it was, like, $2 per figure, and that was kind of, like, at base level. But now I see a lot that's, like, three being beyond that, like, $3-$4 per figure, and that's kind of the norm. Even, I guess, we have, like, the inflation episode. Because even, like, 15mm, a couple of years ago, I started seeing, like, close to $1 per figure, and I think some of them are, like, above that now. For 15s, it used to be, like, 50 cents a guy. Like, let's see,
I picked up this guy at the used bin, LGS, and he wasn't cheap either.
Yeah.
But he's all painted up now. Just needs his basing. Traded for this guy. It's a classic.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What are the 15mm classic fan looking at? Curacan prices here. Trying to find like a squad. Yeah, so this pack is like four figures for $4. Now there's five guys and there's $5. So yeah, we're basically at like $1 per figure for 15s.
That's bananas.
I mean, it's still sort of, I usually say like, $50 will get you like sort of the equivalent of like a mechanized unit for like a platoon game. It's like three squads of guys, two or three vehicles, and I might be pushing it now for $50.
It's true. I think Battlefront's still the closest you can get.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you get like those big platoon like packs that they got, those will save you quite a bit. And their tanks are not that expensive, but yeah, it's definitely like shifted up a little bit. But I don't know if that's really like, when I look online, I don't necessarily see that people are changing their habits that much. Like, you see a lot more people who are doing like warband games, but I don't think that's only about savings. I think maybe as much about like wanting to paint less or just be able to have like more stuff ready soon. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people are changing their gaming habits based on price, or are they just kind of doing it a little slower, maybe? Right.
Well, because a lot of people always start with Games Workshop anyway, and especially they started during COVID where prices were pretty atrocious. So I think you just kind of expect it.
Well, there's also like, if you're coming from that and then you move to a different game that also has expensive miniatures, but they're like the same price expensive, it's going to look kind of cheap because you don't need like that many guys to build some dudes for like Frostgrave, right?
Yeah.
So it's like the Infinity thing where people say like it's cheap to play Infinity even though the figure is like $6 a pop or whatever because you only need like a handful of them. So, you know, yeah, maybe I don't know that has necessarily changed that much. And I think the extent to which they have with the warband game, the skirmish games and stuff, that's more like just the vibe right now. That people are just into those smaller games. Everyone figured out that you could name your dudes and suddenly were like, holy shit, this is what we've been missing all this time.
Yeah. I think the only thing that's really changed is 3D printing.
Yeah. But even then, like, yes, I definitely see like 3D printing as a, like, there's a lot of dudes who just print, they don't really buy anything. So that's definitely like a price thing. But I wonder, I guess a real interesting question would be, because if you start gaming and you just start printing right away, versus if you used to buy and now print, like, are there a lot of people who have transitioned from buying minis to mostly or only printing versus people who didn't buy anything before, but now they do print? Or people who still buy some, but they also print some, you know?
Like, I bet curious. It's the people who actually learned how to print properly and get a good system going may have switched completely. But, you know, like airbrushing, everyone can attempt it, but not everyone can succeed.
And also for some people, it's, you know, like if you only get like a couple of new minis now and again because you paint slowly or you just have like very small games you play, maybe fucking around with setting up printing and all that is not really worth it. Compared to, you know, if you need like a new, you want to play a different like old Hammer army every weekend, then printing will save you like, you know, an enormous amount of money. But if you're basically playing Frostgrave or somehow you have like one more time warband and once in a while you want to paint like one extra guy just for fun, you're probably like just as well off just like getting a dude on eBay or even just buying, you know, one model from Reaper or something.
I got a dude on eBay tempting me, an old pre-slotta kind of like Wraith Ghost, you know, like the Lord of the Rings one, so they don't have the face, it's just like the empty cloak.
I have a couple of those lying around. But they're like the actual Lord of the Rings ones. I don't know if I have them anymore. I'll see if I can find them. If I can, you can have them. Because I don't think I'll...
This guy's going for like $30.
Whoa! Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's like $2, like US right now.
Yeah, basically. It's the shipping that kills it.
Yeah. Well, it's also... we could do like an episode sometime about like how to not get ripped off on eBay. Because it's... I've been like super lucky with eBay buys. Like, I think I have been scammed once, maybe. I've had stuff that was like arrived late or was damaged in shipping. But that's not like the guy's fault. Like, I had gotten, this was the old Epic box set. I forget if it was the Titan Legions one. So the second edition Epic. And it was advertised on eBay. And the pictures were kind of dodgy, but it said like includes most of the stuff, essentially. And I wasn't dumb enough to think that, like, a 20-year-old box game was going to have, like, all of the minis. But I figured, okay, if it has, like, half of them, that would still be a bet. Because it was pretty cheap, so I got it. And I made the mistake you should never do, because we were going someplace that day. So I grabbed the box, or the package for this, and I just, like, dropped it off in our apartment. And then we went out to go down or whatever. And I left feedback on my phone that I had received the package. And, of course, when I went home and opened it, turned out it had zero of the miniatures. It did have all the cardboard buildings and like unpunched and all the dice and stuff and cards. So it was like a complete game, just minus all the minis, which is the one thing I did want. I still have the, all the buildings though. They're kind of nice. But yeah, so that's like the one time I've ever been like scammed on eBay. Otherwise, I just had like really good luck. Sometimes getting like extra stuff.
Oh, that's really good.
So yeah, but it's just like, you know, you get people all the time who, although I have definitely bought minis that were like 100% recasts and
Yes.
When you get like, they were...
Yeah, see, I don't want to pay $30 for a recast.
Yeah, well, these were costed like pretty reasonable, which I guess was because they were like Old Hammer or like Eldar, like second edition minis. And I should have figured that they were a little cheap because they arrived. They were just like super like shiny.
The picture looked a little shiny to me. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, these were like, I don't think the picture was actually the minis they were selling. I think they had like an old guy lying around that they used for the pictures, because the picture looked kind of, you know how it has that like tarnished look to the metal?
Mm-hmm.
So they looked like that on the photos, and then you get like this just absolutely crisp and pristine, shiny, brittle. So,
yeah. Baron Hembutt mentioned printing is another hobby that I'm not sure I have time for. And that's really the biggest thing, you know, like how much time do you got on your hands? Like printing an army and painting an army is quite a bit of work.
Yeah, and then there's like, I guess it's easier now, but like people still say like printing is like a separate hobby to support your first hobby, because you can end up spending so much time like figuring all this stuff out. But it's also, like I said, if you don't end up like buying that much, like I ended up getting some 3D printed like tanks and stuff, but I only wanted like two or three, so it's not worth buying, you know, like those cost me, I don't forget, $50 something. It was like some dude on eBay who churned them out. You just pick the one you want and they print it for them. So I don't want to spend like the money and the space to set up like a whole printing thing just for like a couple of but if you're grinding out like a whole Flames of War army, maybe like at whatever Battlefront charges now for tank, like $15.
Hey, it depends. Yeah, some of them are like super expensive, especially if they're resin and metal. Then you're probably better off just 3D printing.
Yeah.
But the plastic kits usually are okay. In the past, they used to be a little bit more expensive, but their prices are kind of mellowed out.
Yeah. So it's definitely, plus you can also, you know, go with like the Plastic Soldier Company for 15 if you hate yourself, or I don't know if there's anyone else that do them.
Actually, not all Plastic Soldier Company are bad. You just have to research it a bit.
Yeah. I had really bad like memories from buying the Soviet infantry, because I realized some of the heavy weapons are multi-piece in 15 millimeter.
Yeah.
And I just put them back in the box and didn't assemble them. So that actually kind of killed me doing 15s for World War II. Shortly after that, because my brother-in-law wanted to learn how to play, and he does like model airplanes. So he was used to 172. So that was the obvious pick. So I told him, just buy like some 172, like classic figures, and we'll play a game. Then I saw the Eureka 20s, and it was all over from there. But PSC gets the honor of like scaring, basically making me not, because otherwise I was going to get just like Battlefront, because, you know, they're cheap, they're nice. And I like the kind of like, you painted like a ton of them.
Yeah, definitely. They're good.
They're like fun. Like
especially the really old ones. Like when I got the BEF, they have like the giant lantern jaws.
Yeah. They have kind of like a cartoon vibe.
They also got a little better as time went on.
Yeah. Although I sort of like the old one. They paint up real nice, which is what people always say about like shitty minis.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a lump of lead, but it paints up nice.
Yeah, it's what people have always said about like the irregular minis, that they look like garbage, but when you paint them, they come to life. Although you could also get the Peter Pig 15s with the Jay Leno faces. They all have mouth open like, ah.
So you were going to lead us into a topic?
Well, I was mostly just, I guess, going to talk about Rogue Hammer, because that's kind of what I've been burying my brain in. Actually, no. You know what? We should do, like, cutting-edge news and talk about Fantasy Hammer, which is definitely not the title, but maybe. When I mentioned it, everyone in Discord started just spitting out stupid titles. so I want to emphasize that we are definitely not using absolutely anything people suggested. But I don't know what the title will be. If it's, I was gonna say Goblin Hammer, because I'm pretty sure that's like a sword in the Lord of the Rings, but that's probably like flying too close to the sun.
Yeah, I think there was some winners though, wasn't there?
Yeah, actually, some of the suggestions were. Oh, it's a Foe Hammer. It's like Gandalf's sword.
Oh yes,
So that's probably just, oh, I rolled a one. Hambo to save, but it's getting a little closer.
Ooh. Oh. No. Orc hammer, yeah.
So the idea would be, this is sort of the notes I was taking last night when I was really sleep deprived. That's how I figured it is.
Yes.
It's not really going to be necessarily rank and flank. It's going to be, this is where you get to like invent a term for it, like chunk and block or something. Well, basically, you will have, because it's squad hammer based, right? So you have like your stand as your unit. But you can have battalions that are multiple stands. So like an orc battalion with, you know, two, three, or four stands. So it's probably kind of in that range. And battalions move together. So the stands have to touch each other. They don't necessarily have to be lined up specific formation.
Okay.
It's still the same way that you apply damage to individual stands, although it might be that with a battalion, it would work kind of like Warhammer. So like, when you take enough damage to kill one, you don't like put it on specific stands. You just take one of them off.
Okay.
But they would then move kind of. So you could have like, so your knights or whatever that you might only have one stand of because they're expensive, they would just be on their own. But then you have like a battalion of goblins, which is like three stands or whatever. Like if you've seen like Hordes of the Things armies or DBA armies, where people will like make blocks of like spearmen and stuff, but you don't necessarily have to. The big change would be, ranged attacks would be basically the amount of hit points will go down. So in Rogue Hammer, a lot of units have like 8 or 9 hit points, and damage is usually 1d6. For fantasy, the amount of hit points will go down to 5, I'm thinking. With most ranged attacks, it'll be easier to hit, but it'll only do 1 damage most time. Close combat would be the same, where it's a difference in the rolls. So if you win by 3, you do 3 damage. So the idea is that it probably takes like 2 decent close combats to like kill a unit. But if you pepper them with some arrows first, picking off like even just 1 or 2 hit points will mean that you can now, if you're lucky and good, can knock them out in like 1 charge. So that's very cool, right? And then it would be cool if you could have it so that if you shoot arrows at like some dudes and then charge them in the same turn, you get like a +1 bonus to attack them or something, because you've like softened them up or disrupted them or something like that. The other thing I had in mind was that instead of having specific army lists, you would have like a whole bunch of different units. Like you have, you know, all the orcs and elves and smurfs and all the other stuff. Yeah. But you can sort of create your own army list, which I'm sure some other game has done. But basically you might say that, okay, my army list will have like orcs and goblins and like, I don't know, minotaurs or something. And they know how to tame like unicorns. So that's, you can kind of like pick through the different creatures and units and create your own army list that you then use when you play games.
Okay.
So when you show up to the club or something, your army list is, you know, high elves and like Satan worshippers or whatever. That's the troops you chose. They fit well together. Pick like, maybe it's like broken out. So you can pick like a monster or two. You can pick like, you know, a couple of different creatures. And then you could take, so if you choose to have orcs in your army, you can then have any like orc types. You could have like archers or spear orcs, spearmen, spear orcs.
Sporks.
Sporks. And so on. And the same for magic might even work like that, where you have like a huge list of spells, and then you create like a school of magic that your army uses. So you pick like 5 spells from that whole list. And when you field your army, you can use. So you kind of get to like create your own little like army from all the stuff that's available. But the game, I don't think, will have like strict, like, it won't come out and say you can't have orcs and elves in the same army. That's up to you.
Okay.
You know, if you want to make an army that's about orcs and just like hanging out together and being friends, because why not? Yeah. You know, they have a lot to talk about. So that's kind of the basic. There will be some symbol tools to build some heroes. Not like super detailed, because again, it's... But be able to, so you might have like basic, like an orc hero is like this. And then if you make him like a paladin, he gets like, you know, maybe some magic and a bonus. If he's like a fighter, he gets like a +1 bonus of combat. If he's a scout, he moves faster. So you pick like the type of hero and then like class or whatever. But like very simple, like it's all in like, you know, the school. But that's kind of the, I was sort of going with it. It would see like facing and stuff. Be addicts, you kind of need that for, you know, fantasy. You want to be able to like outflank dudes with your wolves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and probably go ahead.
Were you planning on building a campaign around this? Is that going to be integral?
I think campaign rules would have to be a thing, but I kind of want to do something that's different and haven't done before. Oh, I rolled a 15. He's still good. Like, it might even just be a thing where you, like, you draw like a little map of your fantasy land and you just fill in some, you know, you have, if you have three players that are playing, maybe there's like 12 space on the map and you just have a very simple system where you can move like armies around.
Okay.
Sort of keep it like old school, but in a simpler way. Like, if you're seeing like the campaign rules for like old school fantasy games, they're always like super complicated because you have to keep track of like your supplies and how many like pairs of shoes everyone's got. But you could make it so that, like, even if it's just like this army has like 12 stands of these and two stands of those, and then after a battle you lose three of them, so you don't have 12 anymore. So maybe something like that. I haven't sorted that out yet, but yeah, that does need to be. Honestly, like, it's like, in my head at least, it's like a different take on how like Hordes of the Things plays, but without like having the same mechanics or playing in the same like moment to moment way. I think it'll still have, you know, like the attritional combat, the score hammer.
Okay, so you're planning on multi-basing?
Yeah, I think so. I think a unit is one stand, but then you can have battalions of them that are beefed up.
Okay.
And maybe they get some, so there'll be needs to be some filling around to make sure that like there's a balancing point between those, so it's not like a battalion just automatically like mows down anything they fight. But
okay,
and obviously it all has to be simple enough, but yeah, so the idea is that you can, you do have like multi-stand units if you want them. It might be a just a command control thing, like if you have, you know, a whole bunch of goblin stands, you're gonna need to make battalions out of them because otherwise you can't like control all of those dudes.
Okay.
Which is I think how DBA does it.
Oh yeah.
I realized the other night when I was looking through the Hordes of the Things rulebook that inadvertently Squad Hammer like stole the command system from those games, which is funny because I had read those before and played them and then like completely forgotten about it. So it's not actually ribbing it off. It just happens to be ribbing it off.
No one can read Hordes of Things anyway, so no one will ever really know.
This is true. It has never been successfully played. Many people think they have, but it cannot be done. But yeah, so that's kind of the idea.
Okay.
And then just have like an absolutely crazy amount of like creatures and stuff that has like stats so people can just... One of the things I realized making all the fucking units for a Rogue Hammer is that if you just have a bunch of stuff that has stats for it, people will take those stats and then call them something else and use them. But if you tell them people to like make the stats themselves,
yeah, they won't.
Then they won't do it. So, well, some will, but the ones who will are the ones who don't, didn't need the army list to begin with. So there's, I've realized there's a lot of value in, have you ever had that where like if the book has stuff, is like, it gives you permission. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Trying to think of an example if I ever did it. I like unit building, like when you get like options to add things to things.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking with the approach to the army list that like, you sort of pick from the whole mess, because like sitting down and picking like 200 different units is probably a lot, but if you know like the models you want to use are like goblins and stone golems, then that kind of narrows you down to what like what goes into your army list.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, when you sit down to play, your goblins can be like whatever they need, sneaky goblins or spear goblins or whatever.
I always appreciate how Elf Knight Pike Sword does it, where you just add your racial attributes to base units.
Yeah, that works pretty well, because again, you know what models you have in your collection.
Yeah.
And then you just have to kind of look at them, like, do they have spears? Do they have shields? Yeah. You know?
And if you leave it open enough where it's not very specifically, well, these guys are supposed to have a giant two-handed flail with three heads. And if you don't have that, then you're still using the stat, but it's called a three-headed giant flail, but you actually have Reaper sticks or something.
Right. And I mean, I get, since this will sort of by definition be a game played like in a friendly manner anyway, you know, you can be a little, you don't have to be super harsh with it, just having it be open-ended enough. But I think it's also like some people like to look through like an army list and find like a creature that's like a cool ability or something. News says, I had the sensation already. Yes. For the little I'm sitting these days, but there's in fact no overlap with my tentative Squad Hammer Chrome. That's good, I think, because that means we get both.
Damn you, Chrome!
But it's also, because you could totally have, like, two different takes on it, because you have, like, fantasy that's like all about like the heroes and stuff. And you can have fantasy that's very like is all about like, you know, legions of troops, and you can have kind of like it scales like really widely. You know, when people say fantasy, people will think of like completely different things, right?
Yeah. I do like the idea of representing like chaff, multi-based and elite units on one base, but it's still just the one base in the end. So like three orcs on a base equals like one ogre on a base in the same base.
That's like early in Squadhammer, there was like a term for it that I definitely forgot again, but it was the idea that the rogue hammer list kind of worked like that, where like orcs have like five or six figures to a squad, but space marines only have three, or sorry, yeah. Star Knights, don't sue me. But those represent the same like fighting power of the unit. So, and then when the Star Knights actually have like better stats on top of being only half the figures, it's one of those things that when you look at the army list, it doesn't look like it's a big deal, but when you see it on the table, it's like really effective.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like when in like old Warhammer, where they sometimes had, you know, like little creatures would have like a base with like a whole bunch of like snotlings running.
Oh yes,
and they kind of add up to be the equivalent of like one dude like of normal size with a sword. So, but yes, that's kind of the plan for Fantasy Hammer. Honestly, other than like people wanting it, I know you should never give people what they want, but you know, we're all human; we all make mistakes.
Well, they talk about it less once you give it to them. You know, if you're just tired of hearing
it. For like a week, then they start moaning. So you have to keep moving on. But I also realized that it was actually, I think I had like a turning point on it, because I usually hate writing army lists, but creating the rogue hammer ones, I got into like a groove. It was actually fun to make them. So creating this would give an opportunity to make more of them. But also it would allow, like, it's funny because you can like, put with something like Squadhammer, you can put it together in like so many ways and configurations because it's so simple. And each time you do, you kind of like solve a problem, but then you like create a different one. So like if you put armor values for tanks, then they don't feel like infantry anymore. But then now you have the problem that everything has to have like different stats.
Yeah,
because now everything has to have like a anti-tank value and a value against foot troops and. You know, so every like solution you come up with, or like with Rogue Hammer, you get like a fixed number of activations per turn, which is quicker and less like frustrating, but it's also like you miss that like unpredictability or the ability to do like the fog of war kind of stuff. So like every time you answer a question in the system, like a different question pops up and you get to like go you get to like go back and like solve the same problem like multiple times.
Which, yeah, there's in 5150, you start bringing like vehicles and troops and mechs in, and you start like kind of breaking down the stats, at least like from the old versions. There wasn't really any difference. I mean, a guy with a gun was kind of doing about the same damage as a mech.
Yeah, I was actually surprised. Like, I think we talked about last time or something. We played like an enormous amount of 5150, but the original game, I don't know that we ever used tanks in that. And then later we got like the mech one. And it was just like the absolute like standard rules, like they played the same as, and then we got the Starship one and it was the same sort of thing. And it works because it's so like abstract, but I wonder actually if it would be the other way around. If you started with like the mech game and played that, would it feel weird when you play the like squad game and like, oh, all the soldiers just act the same way as mechs, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the one you started with.
Yeah, I think that's how it worked for me. Yeah, I went to the mech one first, and I was looking at the other rules. I'm like, it's all just kind of the same. Because I was trying to compile like big lists of everything. So going through their stats, I'm like, yeah, it's all just kind of adds up to be the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of mechs, I had a dumb idea. This is time to... Because I was coming up with like, oh, okay, now that there's going to be like goofy army lists in Rogue Hammer, like that's going to be, you know, not Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I was looking at, like, okay, what other things could you do other than, like, the obvious ones, like, you play, like, World War II guys versus Tyranids or whatever. Yeah. And I got this idea of, what if you had an army list that was, like, the original set of, like, the classic original set of Battletech mechs, but they're, like, big robots, and you can have them, like, fight your Space Marines. So you have, like, an army list that's, like, mechs, but they're fighting, like...
So are they, like, just, like, miniature to miniature scale?
So they're like human-sized like robots, because they're all basically the size of like at least an old Warhammer guy. They might even be small, but they're like roughly human. So each unit would just be one like robot.
Okay, yeah.
But they all have
tiny, like, little laser guns and stuff.
Yeah, but they all have stats that are kind of like based on the original. Like, you know, the Locust would be really fast, and
yeah,
the Archer would be completely useless but look cool with his missiles. And...
That's right. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool. It would be a fun way for people to, like, you know. Plus, it's like, I don't know, I was thinking about, like, what's, like, stuff you could, because the obvious, like, comparison point between Rogue Camera is, like, OPR, right?
Yeah.
Sort of fitting the same vibe. I was like, well, how can you, like, differentiate things out more beyond just being old hammer? I was like, well, you know, they have their own, like, sort of expanded universe. Well, I guess they have, like, a whole setting now, have, like, actual things out of
it. Yeah, but it might not be as riveting
for some folks
as others.
Yeah, I mean, it's always like you get people who just want to invent their own thing. Like, I think you, and what I'm hoping for is if you give people, like, the bunch of army lists and they see, like, oh, I can have, like, Cybermen from, like, Doctor Who and Tyranids and, like, World War II British, like, that should self-evidently, like, let you make something cool. Otherwise, you're, like, not cut out to be a Rogue Camera player.
My daughter, like, doctor's all in on Doctor Who right now. My daughter, she loves the new Doctor Who.
Oh, okay. I'm, like, two doctors behind, because, like, when the lady doctor came in, whatever service it was on, we didn't have or something, or we canceled it. So I'm, like, super behind, but I'm, like, a mega Doctor Who fan. Like, if I was ever going to get a tattoo, it would be of TARDIS.
nice.
So, yeah, I even, I like both old and new Who. Like, I like all of it. Not, like, every single episode and every, I have preferences. What's her, has she seen, like, all the new stuff, or is she just watching the current one? Or?
Yeah, we're just watching the current one.
Oh, okay. So you just throw her, like...
He's very Mary Sue, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if all the doctors are as Mary Sue, but he's pretty Mary Sue.
Oh, okay. Anything in the new show, except for, like, the Ninth Doctor, is definitely, like, it's just the vibe they are going with.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, if you can, like, it's all pretty good. I would say the classic is, like, the David series. That's, like, the good stuff.
They say one of the top episodes, though, of all Doctor Who is in the newest season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. My daughter loves to rewatch it.
I had seen people say that, like, for a while, like, the writing had been, like, a little hit and miss, and they were kind of, like, coming back into their stride now.
Yeah, the writing is pretty tight.
Yeah, well, they had also gotten, I think, Russell T. Davies back as the showrunner, I think. So
yeah, and that was one of the episodes that was top-notch.
Oh, okay.
His episodes.
He was always really good because he was one of the. So there was an issue. There used to be an issue with Moffat was running it where he kind of is not very good at, like, portraying characters who are, like, normal people. And one of the things that always made the show work was that the companions are normal people who get thrown into this, like, crazy space time trap.
Yeah.
And Russell T. Davies, although he had his ups and downs as, like, writer and showrunner, but he was always very good at, like, emphasizing that they are people and they have, like, people problems to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm not, like, a Moffat fan in general. I think some of the shows he's been running are not real good, but I know he has his fans in it.
Not all Moffats are as good as other Moffats, you know.
This is true. There's a distinct variety. But yeah, who is a good shit? Like, I will defend, like, pretty much
it. What's Noise saying here? I'm going to pop it up. This inspires me for another spin-off project. Hammer of the Huntress. My true solo. One character game, but Mazinger themed. Hamapanchi.
One character is, like, the least amount of army you can build, right?
One character. Yeah, that's right. I'm still disappointed that Hamatsu isn't a samurai game featuring hamsters.
I mean, I feel like it should have been. Be the change you want to see, right?
That's right.
Can you even get, like... I feel like somebody must have made, like, anthropomorphically a samurai dude.
Yeah, just talk to the Burrows and Badgers folk. They're all about it.
Yeah. I know, right? There was, I found this, so I guess this is the webcomic that, like, created all the furries, like, literally, called Irma Felna Earth Defense Force or something, or Defense, I forget what it was called. It was floating around online. I guess the guy was, like, tied to the same stuff where, like, the original Ninja Turtles came out.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like that sort of vibe, but it's very, like, hard, ultra hard sci-fi. You can poke around, you can find the comic online, it's pretty good. There was even, like, an RPG for it, but nobody, like, knows anything about it anymore. It's just one of the things that's, like, come and gone, and I don't know if you can even, like, get print versions of the comics anymore. But apparently, like, all of the furry stuff, like, came from that comic.
Interesting.
Like, it wasn't a thing at the time, and then
it was just a mashup of this comic and Bugs Bunny, and you're good to go.
Yeah, basically. But it was funny because, like, all the characters in that, there's like the Jason is in chat saying Albedo. That was the RPG, which is funny because, like, it has like bunny people with laser guns on the cover, and it's like ultra gritty, like sci-fi, like hard sci-fi stuff. It's really weird. Like, the comic was never finished, so it was never like revealed, but the whole setup is that, like, all of these, like, animal people basically just, like, wake up one day and realize that they have, like, a civilization they live in, but they don't really know how it got there, or, like, they don't have a history. And that was never, like, solved, but, like, towards the very end of the comic run, they, like, find a derelict spaceship that has, like, the skeletal remains of a human in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dang.
So, yeah, it was really cool and interesting, but, yeah, it's just such a weird... You can go poke around online, you can find it, and it's definitely worth reading. It's really fun.
You once ruled the realms with dice and a sword, painted goblins till tea, then your minis were stored. You grew up, got a job, bought a flat, wore a tie, swapped dragons for deadlines, your brushes went dry. Now the dishes are done and the kids are in bed. You climb to the attic to raise the undead. Crack open the paints that you swore you'd outgrown. The smell of acrylic, it feels like your home. There's grey in your beard, even more on your head, but you're splashing some colour on plastic and lead. So welcome back, General. What took you so long? Your hobby's still here. It's the place you belong. The Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Find it at bedroombattlefields.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's Hamlet saying here? Now, thinking of a one-model game, it's a game where your mini travels from one existential crisis to another.
It's a deep cut. Yeah, that's a little too too lifelike. He says, I have Albedo, never managed to run it. I don't think anyone has. I think it's one of the things you could literally just like use Traveler or Busy Roleplay or something for, and that would probably be fine. But it is funny that there's not that many like models for that, considering that like every aspect of like nerd culture is shit full of furries. You would think that there would be a bunch of furry miniatures as well, like bunny people and wolves and stuff with like laser guns and machine guns. But there isn't. There's like Kurasan has things. Kurasan has like what are they? I forget what he called, but they're like cat people or something. They look pretty cool. And there was like the Vogger from Traveler and stuff, but that's kind of it. So. That's weird. Maybe it's just the wrong like subculture. I forgot to roll for a hand, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, 17. You can breathe easy. Yeah. But yeah, maybe it's just like, I don't know, maybe all the dudes who made miniatures are just like old, gnarly, like army dudes instead. Like they all came out of like the Traveler stuff.
Yeah, everyone who does stuff for Bros and Badgers has always just complained there's no real anthropomorphic animal miniatures that are suited for wargaming, so they created their own. A lot of people took up sculpting just to learn.
Well, even in fantasy, there's not, because, you know, a lot of RPGs have, like, animal-type characters, but there's very few minis out there when you just look at it. I guess just because Dungeons & Dragons never, like, went that way, and everyone else ripped off D&D.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing you can basically get is, like, Beastmen. You know, they kind of have, like, a connotation from, like, Warhammer and Dorantha.
Yeah, Skyrim was good on that. They had, like, the cat people.
Yeah, and
lizard people and
lizard dudes. That's like two of them. Yeah, just need a bird and you're kind of covered, or maybe a bug.
Bug dudes, yeah.
Yeah, actually, bug dudes should totally be a thing for like sci-fi minis. Why aren't there any like bug people, like literal bug-eyed aliens?
Yeah, exactly.
Kurasan feels like he should be able to get on that.
The War Games Atlantic have giant spider sets, and they can include having a spider with a gun.
Hey.
Yeah, so that's something. It's not nothing.
No, but it's close to nothing. The other thing that I was gonna kick off working on was... he does have bears with, like, space bazookas. But he only has, two packs of them. So it's not really... See, that's not, like, another thing that's I hate with, like, sci-fi stuff especially. When you get a range that only has, like, one or two packs of figures,
And
it'll never be expanded because they were done, like, 12 years ago. So
the AT-43 had the Carmen, which were gorilla people.
Oh, that's right.
Those guys were cool.
Yeah, they were pretty good, but I don't even know if you probably have to eBay for it. Did that game go anywhere? Like,
does it they killed it, I think. I think 1843 killed the company.
Yeah.
Which is too bad, because it was like really cool concepts.
It was pretty popular for a while. I wonder if it was one of those things that had like not that many fans, but like those fans were like really intense about it.
Yeah, and really high overhead.
Yeah. Well, and at the time, like churning out like lots of plastic stuff was like super expensive. Yeah. So,
and it was all pre-painted. All the AT-43 is pre-painted.
Yeah. Which I don't know if that like helped or hurt it. I was talking to somebody the other day about, do you remember when Mongoose Publishing used to do miniatures?
Yeah.
Like they had the Judge Dredd game. They had a lot, like Starship Troopers. I was, forget the name. That was like the Babylon 5, like ship game.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. Call to Arms, I think.
Yes, yes. Which had like really cool minis. That was a good game. I remember like one of the Judge Dredd games was really cool. They had Starship Troopers, which was like huge for a while. They had like tournaments and all kinds of stuff, and then it just disappeared.
I played the Judge Dredd game. I used the engine at least. I just made my own like zombie game.
Was it? Because there was like
that was good.
I think there were two different. There was one that was like kind of Necromunda style, and there was a different one which was more like a regular game, I guess.
I think I did the Necromunda style one.
Yeah, that was that one was really cool. I remember like I didn't get a copy of the rulebook until like way later. I was like, oh my god, this was really awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was well set up.
And it was like pretty accessible. But apparently what like torpedoed miniatures for them was because they tried to do that like Battlefield Evolution or whatever. It was like a modern warfare kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
And they set up, the game was okay, but they set up this whole production of, like, pre-painted plastics, and I think, A, they were way more expensive to do, but also the paint jobs coming out of them were, like, infamously bad, with, like, googly eyes and stuff. It's, like, old, if you've seen, like, old D&D plastics when they were doing the collectible boxes, and some of them were just, like, awful.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that just, because it wasn't that far after they just declared that they were just going to get out of doing miniatures because it was like too difficult, too risky.
Yeah. They weren't quite there yet.
No.
10 more years, they would have been there.
Yeah, maybe they're just ahead of their time. But they were always one of those companies that were trying a bunch of different.
Have you heard of Skyrealm?
I have not heard about Skyrealm's of someplace, Droon or something? Jeroon? Hamlet says, what's the chance of Orc Hammer Omulus for Cloud Counters? Not Skyrealms, not at all. The problem there is that I don't know. I'm familiar with it, but I have never, like, read the books or anything. So there's not going to be Omulus that are, like, specifically, like that. It'll be, like, one big list of things, and then you build your own Omulus out of them. So you can make it. I also had this stupid idea of creating like an army list for Rogue Hammer that would be like Napoleonic troops, so you can have like skirmishers and stuff fighting Tyranids, which would be really stupid.
Space flintlocks,
exactly. laser smoothbores, laser muskets. I guess a laser would have a smoothbore anyway. Why, there would be no reason to rifle it. Like, you gotta get the laser beam to spin around.
Yeah, that's right. It's the twirl in the beam that really makes it penetrate.
Yeah. It fools the detection systems.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure what Jason means by Jorun.
Oh, that's it was an RPG called Skyrealms of Jorun.
Oh, okay. Got it.
But yeah, it's one of those like actually this is a good question, since we're just like shooting the shit. Is there a game that you always, maybe one you heard about back in the day, you always, like, kind of wanted to try it, but you never did? Or you never saw the book, you just, like, read about it or saw it in a magazine or something?
I don't think so. I think I played to be able to acquire anything I knew about that I wanted. Oh. HeroQuest was, like, the last one, and then I finally bought HeroQuest.
Oh,
and my family hated it, so we never played it together.
The new one? So.
Yeah. You could go online, though, and get, like, 3D STLs and get, like, all the classic-looking miniatures printed, and then it would be a better-looking.
Oh, okay, that would be pretty tempting. I have a copy of both. It's actually, the only thing that sucked a little bit was the, like, I forget what they called it now, but it's, like, the Chaos Warrior. The model is really cool, but the plastic for, like, their maces is, like, really soft.
So, like, oh, yes, they're all flopped over.
Yeah. It looks kind of sad. Like, yeah. I know you can get, like, those of your maze is, like, soft and floppy, and it helps.
Yeah.
So maybe they need some of that. But otherwise,
D&D minis are one of my least favorite, though, honestly. for miniatures. I don't like something about the scale, the ratio of the bodies to the weapons. I don't know what it is exactly. They're always kind of big, but their weapons are always kind of small.
Yeah.
So they just don't sit in that nice happy medium for me. So like 28 millimeter, like the like historical gaming, they have small weapons, but they're also not huge. But D&D are huge, but they have small weapons.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like a side effect of like how they cast them, because the stuff they use have always been like kind of soft. So you can't really like make certain things.
But it's not.
So, yeah, I think I wonder if that's like a thing that came in from like Warcraft and stuff, where you always have dudes with like huge swords and stuff, or like from
Yeah, yeah.
So that becomes
dudes,
like
huge swords.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny how like all like influences each other, because you had like originally old school fantasy often had like very sort of realistic proportions, because they were often sort of based on like historical troops, and then like the swords and the armor and the shoulder pads got bigger, and then at some point like the dudes got bigger as well, so you have like big dudes with big swords. So that starts showing up in like, you know, you get sort of mid-range Warhammer, and then Warcraft starts looking like that, and then that feeds back, so now like D&D starts looking like Warcraft, and it all kind of like
the old
yeah,
or it's an arms race where like the what's that game you love from, I think it's from Sweden. It's a sci-fi game. Like, what are your favorite factions is from it?
Oh, Warzone.
Yeah, Warzone. Yeah, like, they just upped the irons, basically, on chunkiness. So yeah, Warhammer guys were chunky, but they're chunkier.
Yes.
They got bigger guns. They're clips on clips.
Bigger shoulder armor. Yeah. But it also helped cover up for, like, really shitty, like, sculpting and casting at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's easy to make, like, big chunky, like, armor dudes. Yeah, that's another that, like, I was talking to, I was too bad Torben is not in the chat, because I was talking to him about this a while ago, that it's hard to think of a sci-fi game right now that is, like, competing with Warhammer 40K. Like, not in a, like, on an equal level, because that's never kind of been the case, but just, like, as a, like, second-tier kind of choice. Like, Infinity's out there. But that's like its own little thing.
Yeah.
Other than
it's
that,
not a Warhammer whatsoever.
Yeah. But like, because they used to be like Warzone was it for a while. Void, I guess. That, you know, maybe War Machine was it for a while. And now there's just kind of not one. The closest competition is almost like Kill Team. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is more like that Gates of Antares, I think, is either dead or on life support.
Most dead. That's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Grunts isn't around anymore.
I think it still exists, but it's dead.
Yeah, I think they had said they were basically going to keep, like, selling the stuff, maybe, but they're not really going to, like, put anything out. I don't even know. Like, I think Star Wars Legion is still kind of around, but I don't know if they're even...
Yeah, their cycle is still going, but no one really
Yeah, I think Shatterpoint kind of, like, flopped a bit. It seemed like they didn't really stick to that. Although the couple of people I'd seen who were... I think the problem was that they were hoping it would be like a different group of people from Legion players instead of being Legion players, would then end up not liking it because it wasn't like Legion.
Yeah. Or the right scale.
Well, yeah. And then you have to like get everyone to buy it. That's what I mean. Like if you're trying to attract people who don't already play Legion, that doesn't matter because you're just buying new stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you already have all these dudes and then you're playing a different game, you would like to be a different game with these dudes. And that turned out not to be the case.
Yeah. Or if you're like, just have like wicked sculpts in Shatterpoint that you could also use in your Legion games, then that's perfect. You're happy.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. You get like more detailed characters, even if you pay like a little bit for them, but you get like these really cool character models you could use instead of, or in addition. That would have been, maybe they would have done better, but
I think they just chose wrong.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, like, I don't know if the X-Wing is, but that's, even X-Wing like kind of bombed, I guess, the second
it's kind of gone. Killed
it. So, yeah, it's kind of thin. Like, there's technically a new Warzone, but like, nobody's going to play it. Otherwise, I don't even know what is like competition to, even as a second tier, like, we're so far down.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
You know, like, for fantasy, it's easy enough because you have like, what is it called? That game that everyone went to for Ring and Flame. Crap. It's the dude.
Mantic's game?
Kings of War?
Kings of War?
Yeah,
I think so.
That. And then there was the one that everyone then... Oh, Oathmark.
Oathmark, okay. Yeah, I don't think that took off as well as they had hoped either. Even though it's a really cool concept.
It was a great game. I think what happened was that they got like half of the Kings of War players moved over to that, but they didn't really like grab League. I mean, Frostgrave is still going like really strong. But that's again almost kind of like it's a separate thing. Like Frostgrave is more competing with something like what is the Sigmar like skirmishy thing called?
Spearhead. Yeah.
Yeah, Spearhead, something like that, or what was it called, Underspire or something?
Oh, Warcry. Yeah.
Warcry. Yeah, like it's more kind of competing with those. I mean, I guess there's like OPR. You know, OPR is competing with 40K, but it's also just
that's got the best bet out of anyway. OPR.
Yeah, but that's kind of like a symptom, right? Like, if the main thing competing with 40K is also 40K, just with a different hat, you know? Like, Warzone back in the day had enough, like, 40K stuff in it, but it was still, like, its own thing with its own identity. And it's just hard to really see a way that a game could become, could get to, like, that point again, because I don't even know what it would take. Like, you would think that, you know, like Warlord games who have like a huge distribution, huge audience with Bolt Action, which is really popular, and Rick Priestley creating a game, that should be all the components to like get a big success sci-fi game. And then it just kind of didn't. Like, I don't know, did you follow that game at all? Or like, I remember seeing some of the minis and they were kind of neat, but.
Was it the Warlords of Erewhon? Is that what you were saying?
No, Gates of Antares or whatever.
Oh, Gates of Antares, yeah. No. No, I didn't really like the minis, honestly.
Oh, okay. They all had really like very rendered. They reminded me of they kind of looked like the aliens from the new like XCOM games on the computer. If you played those,
oh yeah,
where they have that sort of like rounded like vibe. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, yeah. There's some like cool stuff in there, but it just overall as a game, it didn't really grab me.
Yeah,
and I'm not really into like a big game. I think a lot of people are like me, where they just want a smaller game, like a skirmish game. So that's why those ones always typically do better.
Yeah,
outside of Games Workshop compared to the big battles.
Well, and it's also, I wonder if people get, especially when it's a game from, like, a company where you have to, like, hope that it's supported in some way, especially if you can't bring your own minis, then it's, like, it, you know, I think everyone at some point has had the experience of, like, buying into a game and then the game essentially dies.
Right? Yeah. Or they buy into it and it sucks.
Yeah. Like, not a lot of people, like, getting their Growler army for Vor into the Maelstrom out on the field anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, maybe there's an element of that. If it's a Warband game, at least you're only buying like 10 dudes. You can probably find some other use for them.
I'll pull up a few things from chat. We got Skies, who is our resident hipster from Utah. He says, space bugs invading a world of black powder. Technology would be a cool premise. Can't argue with it. That is
true. And they could go allied with the orcs or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got Hambutt bringing in the Jane Austen meets Starship Troopers.
Well, that definitely requires another one.
As long as there's more galas and less. Less shower scenes, more galas. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, you can do anything you want on your gaming table, I suppose.
Yeah. Then speaking of hipsters, we got Jason here with, well, that's why he doesn't play mainstream games.
That is true. If other people have heard of the game, it is already a little too mainstream. If you can find players for it, it's probably garbage. Let's be honest.
Yeah. If Jason didn't write the game, then it's probably...
That is statistically true. I will say, while you may have less shower scenes in the game, as anyone who's been to a convention can testify, there should probably be more shower scenes like around the games.
Well, that's true. Yeah, encourage showering.
Yeah. Like just a little bit, just once a week. Just try the Friday before the, like, it'll take until Sunday before the Cheetos dust and sweat catches up too bad. Somebody could go to like a convention trying to like statistically figure out at what point will it smell the worst.
Well, that'd be interesting.
So is it like late at night or is it like, you know, is Sunday morning maybe better because people might have like had a chance of freshen a little. Or is it like Friday when everyone's like stumbling out of the cars?
Or when is the smelliest tournament game?
Ooh, I can, from personal experience, it was MechWarrior Dark Ages. We went to like the local gaming store and they had a big event and there was like probably 12 or 13 people jammed into the store and filling most of it. And they were all like all smelly.
Oh, yes.
It was like, it's the only time I've gone into a store and it's been so unpleasant that we turned around and left again without buying anything because it was just so thick and awful. Like normally in like a random group of gamers, there'll be like one smelly dude, but this were like all of them. Maybe there was one in there who wasn't. You wouldn't be able to tell.
In the old days, our game store sold Magic cards. And the Smelly Knights, of course, were the Magic the Gathering Knights. And they moved that. They created a separate store just for the Magic Gathering players.
So they could go be
yeah, that's right.
Smelly over there.
Yeah, they got their own space now. And then, so now the Smelly Knights might be like D&D Knight.
Yeah, D&D can
you never know.
I think D&D players might have gotten better, actually, because like more normies got into it. Yeah. Normies will shower.
Yeah.
So that's an example where like dumbing it down for casuals actually helps, because then you get people who have like social skills to be in your hobby, and you need a couple of those. There was like a TV show, I forget the name of it, which is about like a D&D group, and they get like a new guy. But instead of being like a weird nerd, he's like a normal popular dude. And he's
what was it? Zero Charisma?
I think so. It's been a hot minute since.
And like the main character is like this giant angry nerd who works in a nursing home or something at the end.
So, you know, but yeah, you just need like a couple of normies to come in and like level out the smell levels and be inspirational for everybody. Maybe people just don't know. They see somebody like, how does your hair look so nice? I'm like, oh, I shower once, you know, shampoo it twice a week or something. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know you could do that.
What? Yeah. I definitely see a lot less old school nerds these days than I used to.
Yeah, I think I think some of them have just like drifted off to like be weird about video games and post angry YouTube comments. But I think like the tabletop nerds are like, even like last time I was at like a convention, like mostly just pretty pleasant. There was like, you know, you get people who are kind of weird, but not like, there's like weird, you know, let me tell you about my Pokemons, and there's weird like has strange opinions about, you know, things you would rather not they tell you about. And everyone.
Oh, we need to like, roll the dice one last time because Hambutt's got to go.
Oh shit. Oh, an 18. It's just not. Now he can't go. That's the problem. Now it's too far from the from a 7. Yeah.
Sorry, Hambutt, you got to stay.
Yeah. Sorry. Your dog is just going to have to to pee on the carpet.
Yeah, that's right. I guess now I have to say, if you don't know who the old school nerd in the mirror or the room is, then you have to look in the mirror.
Yeah. It's like the.
Is it me? Am I the old school nerd now?
Yeah. It's like, what is the asshole rule? If you have a circle of friends and all of them are nice, then means that you're the asshole.
Yep.
I was like, so always make friends with somebody who's kind of a dick. Because, you know.
Or it's going to be you. Did you get any up to any activities this weekend?
No, the only activities I got up to was not sleeping at night and then doing like graduation stuff.
Oh, okay. Nice. So, yeah, we took my daughter's friends to the amusement park that we have.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like a permanent one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough because they're 11-year-old girls and they had drama.
Yeah.
It was a very long day.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have to negotiate a little bit. So.
Yeah.
No, graduation was pretty good. I was kind of wondering if I was gonna be bawling at the end of it, but it was actually fine. Aww. Like it was okay. It was very nice. But yeah, it was good. Then we had some family come out and visit, and we had, you know, just kind of hung out with him. Then he got to go to a couple of they call them open houses here.
Okay,
where it's just like you just throw a party in the afternoon for like a couple of hours, and people can just
nice. So
a couple of his friends that invited him. He went to those and had a good time, and they apparently didn't get drunk, which seemed weird to me, but, you know.
So they didn't go out in the bush and light a giant fire and throw a can of bear spray in it?
Not that I know of.
Nobody got bloodied?
Well, nobody who, like, survived to tell the tale, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now he's, like, a real adult.
Dang.
So, I know, right? But yeah, that sort of ate up the whole, and then we got to hang out with some, my wife's brother and his son and their mother, so the kid's grandma, they were visiting for the whole weekend, so we got to catch up. It's one of those, like the last time I saw their kid, he was like 16, and now he's like 27, and I realized it had been a hot minute, because when you haven't seen people for a while, they're just like in your head as like the age they were.
Yeah.
You know, and then you realize like, oh yeah, 10 years later, they probably look a little different. They're like a whole different person.
Yeah. Or if they were 16 at the time, then they probably never talked to you. And now they're 27 and they're striking up conversation. I'm like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You're a completely different person now.
Yeah, I get pretty bad about that. Part of the family has like 6,000 people like the first time I came over and we went to Thanksgiving, and it was like, oh, you know, everyone was super excited to meet me. And I was like, my family was only really small, and family gatherings was 7 people.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Because nobody, there weren't that many to begin with, and nobody got along. So oh, yeah. you gather with like the handful of people that can be in the room together. But their family gatherings was like a billion people all in one house. So it was like super overwhelming. Like everyone wanted to talk. So I was like, kind of got thrown into the deep end.
Your social skills were put to the test. Yeah, it'd be intimidating.
Yeah, it was also, I realized, because when I was a kid, the way it always worked in our house was that you didn't really, it wasn't a rule, but the way everyone did it was you didn't go back for food multiple times. You just like pile up your plate with everything you wanted.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then you sat down and like worked on that. It wasn't like a rule, like nobody would get mad if you went back. That's just not how we did it.
Yeah.
So without thinking about it, I'm like, making this monster plate of like Thanksgiving stuff, and everyone is looking at me really weird because they're used to going back for like 3 or 4 times. You know, it's Thanksgiving. You know, people are used to just making the rounds, and I realized like, oh, people do things differently.
Yeah.
So looked like a starving child or something.
Have you ever heard the story of the poop knife?
The poop knife? Oh yeah. Yes, I have.
That's culture shock.
Yes, that is a
people who live like me.
Yes, I think that came off like Red or something. Maybe it's one of those that has been like around forever.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was talking to my brother-in-law about like one of the best things you could do in life is like go out and find out that there are people who like aren't like you at all and they live in different ways. Mm-hmm. So it was very educational. Sometimes vaguely horrifying.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's a huge culture shock.
Speaking of vaguely horrifying, the battery life on my phone is vaguely horrifying now. It is alerting me that we have been talking for an hour.
Yes, sir. That's right. So it's a good time to wrap it up. Yeah. So that's our mystery episode for today. Hambutt did not get booted. We learned more about...
Last roll was a 14, so
he was, the game, it he was not
rocking
be
it the whole time.
Orkhammer, most likely, but it will be Orkhammer in its heart.
Yeah.
Of Hammer and Orcs.
If you were here, if you're cool, you will always call it Orkhammer.
Yeah, that's right. You'll never use that true name. And that wraps it up. Well, yeah, thanks everyone for coming by.
That was the whole episode. Thank you for hanging out in the chat, and we will see you on Yankee time next time.
Monday, the...
Someday.
Yeah, I lost connection.
Oh, yes.
Am I back? Okay, Monday the 9th. That's when it's coming.
And it'll be on the evening time slot. It's like the early morning or late night time slot, Euro time.
Yeah, that's right. So only the true fans come.
Absolutely. And I suppose if you, I think we did this like one time ever, but nobody was in the chat. But if people do have suggestions for episodes or would like us to tackle topics, discussions, things, I think we do take requests.
Yeah, we take notes and we put them in the notes and we never look at those notes.
Yeah, so in like 12 years, we will suddenly look and remember that you had asked for an episode about like base sizes in rank and flank games, and we'll get to that. By the which time, you have already stopped gaming because it was too expensive.
That's right, $50 a mini. All right, heart attack.
And that's it in 6mm. All right, will it do it? I think we realized last time that it wouldn't. No, no hearts.
Oh, that's it.
The real heart hearts over. The hearts. In our chest along the way.
That's right. All right. Bye.
This episode of Bad Internet Friends was streamed live on YouTube and Twitch. There is a North American-friendly live stream every second Wednesday of the month and a European-friendly live stream every fourth Monday of the month.